I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of Better Podcasting. On today's show, we're going to kick off our arc on event coverage.
In the Better Podcasting download, there's a new article in town about self-hosted versus media-hosted RSS feeds, and we're going to break that down for you.
And finally, in our Better Pod Back, we'll find out what's been happening in your podcasting world this week.
Let's go ahead and start episode 75 of Better Podcasting now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 75 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and of course, there is the one and only Stargate Pioneer.
Please call me SP, and welcome to our Better Podcasting episode 75. We've done 75 of these puppies, and we're just having more and more fun every time, aren't we, Steven?
We are, and you know what else is really fun? It's super fun when you're watching the video side of things, and you just watch my camera do a weird focus thing. So, yes, we are also available on video if you want to check it out. It's a great way to segue. Let's talk about the problems. We do have a video companion to the show, and why we like to highlight that is because sometimes we like to show different elements as well as we're talking about different products. And today, you might see a little bit of that, so you want to go ahead and if you have time, watch the video side of things at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, or just go to betterpodcasting.com/75, and you can see the video companion there. And it is a full video companion. You know, I edit it just like I do this show. They're one and the same. So go ahead and check that out. Now, SP, previously, we made an announcement, didn't we?
We did. We had a bunch of fun getting a new capability out there for the podcasting world. That is thepodcastform.com. It's a forum for all podcasters to come and talk about podcasting things. We went through it a couple of shows ago about all the ways to talk about podcasting and social media and found all of them lacking in searchability and longevity. I mean, there's some great interaction on Facebook or over in private Slack groups or private IM groups, but it's impossible to search for a specific conversation. So we've created a place for podcasters to come and have those conversations and to aggregate information over time for the community. So once again, that's at thepodcastforum.com.
Woohoo! That is awesome. And we want to thank everybody who's come on by there, because there has been a lot of people who have been checking this out and making some posts. And we might talk about a couple of those posts a little bit later. There's a lot of fun happening over there. But let's just go ahead and get into our main topic today, which is going to be something that you want to think about if you're going to be on the road. Ooh. Yes, we have spoken before about how podcasters can leverage events to not only create content, but also to help promote themselves a little bit and build a bit of a relationship within their community. And we want to talk about that again and really break it down this time and really get into the nitty-gritty details, because it is now event season and we have some experience in these areas. And we want to talk about how you can use attending different events to your benefit to, again, help create content for your show and also promote yourself. So that's what we want to do today. And we're going to break this down into three different episodes. And this is going to be a lot of fun because today we're going to talk about event coverage style podcasting. And we're also going to next week talk about more of the presentation style. So you're a little bit more the eyes at the event. The people have their eyes on you at the event rather than you having your eyes on the event. And in the third episode, we're just going to leave it a mystery because we're a mysterious bunch here. And we've got some fun in that third part there that SP is working hard on, or he will be working hard on, or he's doing both. Tease.
Yeah, event coverage is fun. I've done it several times, both as a participant or a creator or a presenter, and as media coverage, basically going in there, trying to get the panels recorded so I can use them on my other podcasts, and trying to do interviews. We have a wonderful capability on the network in different places for people on our network, the GunnaGeek.com network, for people to go out and do interviews and do the con coverage. So we've got a lot of experience to talk about. So one thing that you have to do is you have to prepare for this in advance. So that's really what we're going to be talking about today, is looking at it from the perspective of what do you have to do in advance.
And we want to specify, this is not you going to a podcast event or anything like this. We're talking primarily out of you going to an event that is for your genre. For example, Deami Pelokey, we've talked about him before. He is a woodworking podcaster, and he attends woodworking events. That's a great example of this. If your fellow Gunna Geek Network member, Gallifrey Public Radio, they are the Doctor Who podcast of the Gunna Geek Network. They go to Doctor Who events. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about you going to any of these shows that I can't remember any of their names right now because I'm a terrible individual about podcasting. No, we're talking about podcast or events within your genre.
Yeah, we're not talking about Podcast Movement, PodFest.
Thank you.
any of those, Pod Atlantic, any of those. We're talking about other events that are in your genre, in your niche of what you're doing. Now, if you're doing a podcast about podcasting, those would be the ones that you would go to. But we're talking about like real estate conventions. If you do a real estate podcast, we're talking about cruises. If you're a travel agent and you're doing podcasts about that, if you're a lawyer, yeah, there's probably some places that you'd want to go to talk about lawyer sort of stuff too. And that would not be my preference, but I'm sure that some people really enjoy that lawyer stuff.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk today about the event coverage style. And what we mean by that is you are going to an event and you're essentially a participant in the event and getting information from other people in order to create content for your podcast. And that's what we want to focus on today. We want to talk about how you're going to leverage that event for your podcast. And you're going to want to consider this well in advance. And what is one of the reasons why you want to think about this well in advance? Because here's the thing, you're doing a podcast, and if you think about this months in advance, you might be able to get what is called a media or press pass. Now, I can personally speak firsthand on seeing the evolution on these events, accepting podcasters as part of the media. Because I, years ago, ran a successful comic book website that had quite a bit of notability, and I, at that point, had to really leverage the website to get my people media passes. They didn't care about the podcasting element. This was years ago. Now, when you go and you look at media or press pass credentials, there's actually boxes there now to tick, I am a podcaster, because more places are recognizing this. And this is really important because these events want more promotion and advertising, because the more people that talk about it, more likely there's going to be more event goers or convention goers, and thus more money for them. So they are, more and more events are willing to consider podcasters as media, and that means that maybe you might get a bit of a benefit. Because SP, right? If I get a media pass, this just means that I get to do whatever I want, right?
Oh, absolutely. It means you get backseat passes to all of the green rooms. It means you can duck in and out whenever you want. It means that you get special executive bathroom privileges. No, it does. It does not mean that at all. It's just a different way to check in. Sometimes they're free passes that they give out. Sometimes it's a reduced rate. But sometimes there's limitations on what events you can and cannot do. And there's always limitations on what you can cover and what you can't cover. Like, you can't just go up to anybody in the, like, say there's a celebrity or a main speaker. You can't just go up to them and say, hey, I want to interview with you. A lot of times that has to be arranged way before them through the convention media relations. So it doesn't, just because you have a media pass doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want to at these events.
But hey, you don't know unless you try, and you might as well try because you're a hobby podcaster. And if you can save yourself even a few bucks and also benefit the convention and whatnot, why not give it a shot? What's the worst that happens? You get told no? Who cares? Now, here's the thing that you want to know with that, though, is you need to be prepared to provide statistics information. And this is becoming more and more important, I've personally noticed, because on the network, we have a lot of different people applying this time of year for different press passes and media passes. And more places are asking for these statistical details. So you need to make sure you're prepared to provide those because you will likely be asked. You may also need to provide something like a business card or something like that. So just keep that in mind. There will be prerequisites in order to apply for these.
And keep in mind, you cannot falsify these numbers. I mean, maybe you can exaggerate them or not, but I'll tell you, if they're really checking into you, they'll go to your Twitter accounts. They'll go to your Facebook accounts. They'll go to your social media accounts. They'll go to your website. They will get statistics by how many followers you have, how many retweets that you have, how many comments back and forth with your audience that you have. They will use alternative means to really distinguish if you really have a 500,000 downloads per show or not. I mean, that is what people do. Sometimes they don't care. Like Comicpalooza in Houston, they know what a hobby podcaster is. And last year, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. did the podcast partnership with Comicpalooza. It was a very pleasant experience. However, there are some additional issues with that partnership program that you may or may not want to do. So if you're going to Houston Comicpalooza this year and you're applying to be a partner in their podcast partnership, check the requirements for that. And you will find if you really want to subject your show to all the conditions that come with the partnership. It's basically the same as partnering up with an advertiser. So you just have to see if it's right for your show or not. But there are a lot of different issues that come with having a media pass and the statistics that go with it. And just make sure that you're representing yourself, your network, your website, your show accurately.
And when you decide to do that, if you decide to do that, be prepared for the rejection. Like I said, what's the worst that happens? They say no. Well, that can be a little hard sometimes. Like, being totally honest, that can be a little hard and a little deflating at times. So just prepare yourself for that no, because that is absolutely something that there's a chance that you're going to have that happen.
Yeah, and there is always the chance for no. Absolutely. I've been told no before. Mm-hmm. Steven, have you been told no before?
I have been rejected. Yep. Many times.
So yeah, it comes with going through high school. So it's important to come up with a plan of attack as you're going into these events. Just brainstorm in advance. You know, what specifically do you hope to cover? Do you want to cover presentations? Do you want to cover panels? Do you want to cover the conference as a whole? Do you want to give a tutorial or do you want to report on tutorials? And then in what manner do you want to report on them? Do you want to do audio? Do you want to do video? Do you want to write a blog post? Mm-hmm. All these come with prior prep on what you actually bring and what you execute at the event.
You, on the flip side, might just want to go there and hop around doing some one-on-ones as opportunities present themselves. That might be a little different because instead of going into a room and watching somebody present, you might be going there planning to seek out some people so that you can conduct that interview and use that on your show. These are things that you want to consider because in any case, you are building content for your podcast and that decision tree is going to help you further evaluate what you need to do next and how you need to bring things or what you need to bring to your events. And What I mean by that is if you are planning on bringing back audio, this is something that you're going to need to plan on. How am I going to get there? And what is important to consider with that? And I'll start off with sort of the easier way, the easier method. Let's say that you are going to an event and you're like, I want to go and write down and get ideas and essentially report back on what's going on. I'm going to be the storyteller, so to speak, about this event. Well, then it's not a huge deal, because what you need to do is go to the event prepared so that you are educating yourself and you can come back and talk in detail in length about those situations and those things that you saw. You're not really needing to worry about the best audio quality. If you got yourself a smartphone, that's pretty much all you need. And why do I say that? Because even if you are just planning on reporting back what you found at the event, you're going to want to make sure that you try to go into it recording these areas and these situations that you want to talk about so that you can reference them later and hear them back again for your own purposes, because maybe you're sitting there taking down notes and you're doing all these things. Well, events are so high paced, there's a high chance you might end up forgetting something and you're going to want to go back and reference that later. So it's not like the audio is being used for your podcast. It's just being used for yourself as a refresher. And it is a really, really, really good idea to do that. Pull out your smartphone, hit record if you're sitting in an event that you know you're going to want to talk about later. And then when you get back home, you can play it back to yourself in the terrible version, the terrible audio quality that it is, just so, again, you can pick out the specific things and tell the story.
I do this all the time. In class, I'll record the presentation so I can go back and look at the notes later. If I'm at work listening to a Better Podcasting episode, I take notes on everything that Steven said that was wrong so I could rib him about it later. And it's just normal business. And if you are in the journalist business or reporting business, this is just standard operating procedure. But if you're a hobby podcaster and you haven't done this before, this might be new for you. So yeah, getting some sort of capture of the event while you're at the event always is great. And if you can't record anything, then definitely take a notepad with you and write down things on the notepad, whether it's digital or not, whether it's your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop, or just a piece of paper on the back of business cards. That would be preferable to not having any record of the event at all. And then later, either in your hotel room or at home or days later, you have the specifics of what you want to actually write about in your memory that are brought forth more because you've either recorded the event or you've taken extensive notes on the event.
And on the other hand, you might realize partway through that you actually, there's a section of audio that you want to use. So how are we going to tackle that if you want to be prepared to possibly use clips a little bit later? Well, let's talk about that side of things, because event audio, on the road audio, is going to be quite different than your at home audio, because it's controlled conditions at home. On the road, in an event, much more of a dynamic situation. And we want to, again, reiterate the fact that you want to consider, what do I want to cover specifically? Because if you're wanting to, as we mentioned before, just on the fly record different components and different interviews as the opportunities present themselves, well, you might be able to just break it down to something as simple as a hardware recorder and a couple of microphones like the ATR2100s or those Knox podcast microphones SP spoke about. Those microphones might work perfect for that scenario. If you're in the podcasting circles at all, you might be familiar with somebody named Jim Collison. He is from the AverageGuy.tv network, and he regularly talks about how he's had success with this exact setup. Just a couple of ATR2100s. And using them in events to get interviews.
Yeah, the ATR2100s or the Knox podcast microphones or the Audio Technica AT2005 microphones, they are what we would recommend to any starting podcaster. Why? It's for events like this. Not only do you have the XLR connectivity to your recorder or your mixer board at home, but if you're on the road, you can slip in that USB and go directly into your smartphone and be able to record that way. So they're very versatile microphones. The one thing about these microphones that I will caution you on, if you're actually using it like a reporter and you're handling it that handling noise will translate into your podcast or your audio for your interview or whatever. So we've actually done this before. If you go to the Gonna Geek YouTube channel, you'll see a video of last year in 2016, Lauren, my co-host on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., she actually covered a NASA concept car. And she did her interview with the AT-2005. Now, luckily, she was basically holding it the whole time with a very tight grip. And if you watch that video, you know why. So there's kind of very little handling noise, but you do hear some of it in there. And if you're not careful, you will hear some of that. And there are other microphones we'll talk about later that minimize that. But still, way better than using your cell phone microphone or your tablet microphone, just way better than that. If you have a camcorder, even those have omnidirectional condenser type microphones, and you will catch everything that's going on in the background to the detriment, because it might overshadow the audio of what you're trying to get. So just think about, if you were trying to isolate that audio, what you want to do. The Audio Technica ATR 2100s is a great start for that, to start you off on your interviews in the events that you're attending.
On the flip side, if you're just trying to do a little relationship building and you're at an event where Stargate Pioneer is, and you're like, oh, well, I better be nice to him, and you're like, I'll do an interview with him, that'll stroke his ego and everything, then make sure you use your smartphone, because then what happens is it's going to pick up all the background noise, and then you're just going to be able to go back and nicely say to him, I'm sorry, it didn't turn out, SP, I can't use it. So then it's win-win. You're stroking his ego, and you're giving yourself an excuse not to use that interview.
How would you want to deny the Stargate Pioneer to your audience? I don't know why you'd want to do that.
No, but seriously, yeah, this will be way better than, as SP said, a smartphone or an on-camera mic. The other thing that we like to highlight here, we've talked about it before, but an iRig Pre or an iRig Pro, these devices are great because they're a great way to easily connect an XLR-style microphone. If you've got an array of XLR microphones, really good way that you can use one of those directly into your smartphone, and they're relatively inexpensive. SP and I pretty much always travel with our iRig Pres because they are small, compact, and they have saved us on more than one occasion. So they are really great devices to have. And if you have yourself an XLR microphone, it's a simple way to connect it to your smartphone. There's also a bunch of other direct plug-in microphones. For example, there's one that the same people who make the iRig IK Media, they've got one that plugs directly into your smartphone. There's a bunch of other ones out there. Honestly, I can't remember the names, but maybe go to the podcast forum and post if you've got some questions, and someone will be able to fill that out there. Now, SP, this is your baby. This is a microphone that you like. If you want to spend a little bit more money, how can you reduce that handling noise as well as making sure to reduce the background noise? What would be a good step for event coverage?
Well, I've done a lot of research into this, and surprisingly, there's a limited number of microphones that actually are like supercardioed or hypercardioed microphones that are meant for interviews. A lot of them are actually omnidirectional to try to pick up both voices as the microphone's being passed back and forth, so you're not limited. But way back when, 30 years ago, I believe now, NBC approached Sennheiser and they said, we need an interview microphone that reduces handling noise, and in large crowds, in large stadiums, for Olympic coverage, for NBC sports coverage, in football stadiums and baseball stadiums, we want to be able to interview a person without having excessive background noise. So basically, it's kind of a cross between a dynamic cardioid microphone and a shotgun microphone, and it's this little baby I'm holding up right now. It's the Sennheiser MD46, and it is a dynamic cardioid interview microphone. It's got a long handle, so you can push it back and forth between the interviewee and get it closer to their mouth. And the sound is great. Now, one caveat with this microphone, if you're a little off access from it, and I've actually used this before, you will get a degradation of sound. It will go off dramatically. So you got to put it right in front of whoever's speaking. Also, the price is pretty high in these. I've always gotten these on sale. I've never bought one at full price, but at full price, they go for $200. So, and the other thing that I will recommend on these, if you go to eBay, you can get them a lot cheaper, but realize they're probably cheap because they probably have been dropped. and they might not be fully functional. So just not all of them are like that. I'm just saying that is a possibility to on a used one. So make sure you test it before you buy one. So this is a great example. You can use this. You can actually put a wireless, which is going to increase the cost dramatically. You could put a wireless transmitter on there and have a wireless receiver on your recorder. You could do it that way, or just have a like a 3 foot or a 6 foot XLR cable and go into your portable recorder. I'm holding up a Zoom H6 right now. So that's one, a Zoom H5, Zoom H4N Pro. They're all great recorders. Anything with an XLR input is a great recorder that you can use. Also, I want to mention this because we've used it before on the show last year. It is the Audio-Technica BPHS-1 headsets. So if you're on a event floor and you're doing some sort of coverage, if you're recording a show, if you're doing an interview, you might want to think about picking up a couple of these up because you can put these on and you talk into them, and it's got a small dynamic cardioid microphone on it, and it minimizes crowds noise. These are meant for event, like sporting event coverage, but work great on a convention floor. You will see different sizes of these, different types of these. The Audio-Technica BPHS-1 works great, and it's like the minimal price. Again, it's still expensive though. It's about $200. I would not use USB microphones, like a USB headset that you use for gaming. I wouldn't, because those microphones are limited in their response, and they're mostly cardioid microphone or condenser style microphones, which means they pick up a lot of the background. So those are your choices, a broadcast headset or an interview microphone. Either one is going to be great. But remember, the Audio-Technica ATR-2100, the AT-2005, and the Nox podcast microphone are all good options to start with as well if you can't afford to jump up to these larger, more professional interview microphones.
And the headset, SP really encourages me to do it because, as you know, we do video shows. I mentioned that at the top of the show. And what he likes about that is that it covers more of my face. So he says the less Steven, the better.
And it covers your ears, too. And you have gigantic ears, and I don't want to see them.
Yeah, so if you want to take a step up, that's something you might want to consider. If you're serious about your hobby and you want to get the best quality there, it's worth looking into those there. And there are deals to be had for sure. So let's say, though, okay, I don't really necessarily want to do the interview style. Instead, I'm going there and I want to cover a panel or a presentation or something else where more so there is a lecture style, right? Maybe that's what it is. Well, first off, let's make something perfectly, perfectly clear here. It's not a great idea to put the full presentation within your podcast. And why is that? Because there could be legal problems. If you go and you just lift somebody's entire presentation and you put it in there, we're not lawyers, but that's their work. You could end up having legal problems. If you've ever gone to certain shows, certain performances at the theater, there are definitely things that cover certain presentations. So make sure you're aware of that. But we're going to assume for this purpose today that you're talking about using clips in a completely, completely legal style. Again, we're not lawyers, so we don't know what that means, what would be a legal style, but we're going to assume that you've consulted your official lawyer and they've told you that.
That's right. There could be a variety of different legal hurdles. It could be the person itself that retains the rights. It could be whatever they're talking about in terms of a company or a show or whatever, or it could be the convention or event itself that has trademarked everything or copyrighted everything that goes on there. So just keep that in mind. But usually if you're media, you get to play little snippets, little clips. You can't play the whole thing. So how are you going to record that? Well, first of all, I'll say whatever you have on you is the best thing to do. And usually you have a cell phone, and most cell phones today have pretty good video on them, 1080 at least video. The audio might not be all that great, but if you're just trying to get a video snippet of somebody saying something funny, you can definitely do that. And I am holding up right now my little iPhone 5S, and it's on a little tripod. It doesn't matter what the little tripod is, but you can always put these on a desk, especially if you're interviewing somebody, and you can point it at yourself and get the audio from there. Now, if you're trying to capture audio, especially in a big panel, if you have a digital recorder like the Zoom H6 or the Zoom H5, you can use that in conjunction with a shotgun microphone. Now, I happen to have bought the integrated shotgun microphone to the Zoom items. And if you're looking at the video right now, you see a dead cat basically on top of my recorder that is covering the shotgun microphone. And this is a windscreen basically to reduce wind noise. Or if you're in a big room, the low hum of electricity is muted because of this. Now, what is beneficial of these shotgun microphones is you can point them directly at whoever's talking and it will pick up them and not necessarily everything around. The one caveat I will say about these shotgun microphones, if you're in a big convention panel and you're sitting in the way back, don't think you're going to point this shotgun microphone hundreds of feet towards the head table and pick up that audio. Point it to your nearest speaker. So even though you're obtaining video from hundreds of feet back, you can zoom in on them or whatever. If you point the actual shotgun at the nearest speaker, you're going to get better audio than you will if you're trying to capture the audio from the head table. Now, I talked a little bit about covering video from your cell phone. You can also do that with a mirrorless camera or even a DSLR camera. I have chosen to go the route of a camcorder, and I'm holding up my camcorder that I recently purchased specifically for event coverage. It's just a $200 Canon HFR 700 HD camera, and it records into an SD card, and it should be long enough. I got an extra battery from it, so it should last. And it's all of this, the recorder and the camera is on a Ulanzi U-grip. So the problem with a lot of the cheaper camcorders is they don't have a hot shoe on them. And I wanted a hot shoe, at least for a shotgun microphone. And when I found this little U-grip, I was like, this is going to be sweet. So I picked it up. The link will be in the show notes to Amazon. And it's great because you can put a light rig on it, you can put a audio recorder on it, and you can put a shotgun, separate shotgun microphone on it. I just happened to have gotten the Zoom SGH-6 shotgun microphone, which integrates with all the Zoom mobile products, whether it's their field recorders, their portable digital recorders, or whether it's their audio interfaces. So if you want to check that out, it's great. I did have a chance to test that in real life yesterday in my garage as I was doing a car repair. And Steven, I had this wonderful background noise of my neighbor mowing the lawn, and the shotgun microphone was pointed right at me. And you tell me you heard it. How did it sound?
I gotta say, that Zoom shotgun microphone, impressive, very impressive, great noise rejection. And again, if you want to check that out, that's the Zoom SGH-6 shotgun microphone. And if you've got yourself a Zoom product, we encourage you to do that, because it sounds pretty good, and it integrates with your equipment already, so it's less gear to haul around. And again, if you want to go to the video side of things and check this out, you can kind of see SP hold up some of that gear there. But that's the way that SP chose to go. But you might want to look at going another route depending on what you're looking for. And one of the other more popular shotgun microphones is the Audio-Technica ATR-6550. It's about $70 US, and you can check that out there. That's kind of a great starting point.
Yeah, once again, shotgun microphones, if you've watched a news report being filmed or if you've watched a set being filmed with a TV show or a movie, it's that big mic that's held on a boom just out of range, and it's meant to specifically pick up the audio from the person talking, a really tight cone, hypercardioid pattern. And there are different levels of them. Rode makes some really simple ones for video cameras called Video Mics or Video Mic Pros. Audio Technica makes a range of it. Rode also makes a more professional one called the NTG4 Plus, which is roughly around in the $350, $400 range. Sennheiser starts to make some like $1,000 ones. But what I will caution you with all of these, including the Sennheiser MKH416 that goes literally for $1,000, if you do use these, make sure you pick up some sort of shock mount. Otherwise, as you're handling the camera or somebody bumps into you or whatever, you're gonna hear that noise through the system. So make sure you get that shock mount to isolate the audio.
Now, we've talked about different ways that you can take your podcast recordings to the next level and how you can really try to get yourself that decent quality or better quality sound that will fit in nicely with your already good sounding hobby podcast. Here's the thing that you need to really prepare yourself after all of that discussion is you're probably going to have limited space at this event. You might not be able to set up your full array of gear. So you want to be careful of this because not only may you not be allowed to do that, but even if you are allowed, you might be kind of causing yourself damage if you're encroaching on your neighbor's space. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at what am I wanting to do. Think about the balance of convenience, space, and quality, because you're going to want to find that right balance for you. Again, if you go to the video side of things there, or if you go and you Google the numbers that SP said, SP has found a very good way to integrate a Zoom H6, a Canon camcorder, as well as a shotgun microphone into one small array. And that's going to be super helpful for him to carry around. So you just think about this balance and figure that out there, which takes us to our next point. Be prepared to have a backup plan when you go to these things, because what if you have been told you can have your gear and then you get there and they're like, no, you can't have your gear. That's going to be a problem for you. How are you going to go ahead and salvage that? That might happen. Just as SP said, keep a notepad. Maybe you can dig out your smartphone and record it for yourself, like we mentioned, so that you have better memory and recall of the situation. Right, SP?
Yeah, I've talked about it before. Make sure you do that. And also, we call this game day situation. So once you get there, make sure you're versatile and you're flexible enough to change with the situation. Your gain levels are going to change every single time you record. So make sure you're monitoring. Make sure you're putting that microphone into somebody's face. If you have to go back and recapture something because you previewed it right after and it just doesn't look fine, a lot of stuff are one and done where you can't recapture it. But if you're doing an interview with somebody in a booth somewhere, then go ahead and recapture it. Say, look, you know, if you're lucky enough to get their time again, we would like to do this instead. We think it would be beneficial for you and for us. Can we go ahead and do that? So maybe that will work. Or if you're just taking wide shots of the area, make sure you do that as well. And maybe your entire rig failed and you have to go back the next day and reshoot everything that you can. Make sure you correct whatever was wrong and get it going for the next day. We know technology fails. It fails on us all the time.
It does.
And Steven is just the king of gear failures. It just happened this morning. His gear failed right before we were going to podcast. I was like, oh, Steven, you need to fix that.
It did. So what are some miscellaneous considerations that you might have related to everything we talked about? Well, number one, don't forget your podcasting basics. For example, how are you going to monitor this stuff? Because if you're trying to get audio, how are you going to make sure you're getting audio? Well, bring yourself a pair of decent cans. And if you're debating right now and you've been debating for a while on getting yourself a pair of closed back studio monitoring headphones, now might be a good time, because a lot of those monitoring headphones, and I can say from firsthand knowledge, especially those Audio-Technica ATH-M40Xs, do a great job of helping isolate noise. And they don't use active noise cancellation. What they do is it's just the way they're designed. They help eliminate noise. So that might be something that you want to consider as well. Or do you need batteries for your gear? Do you need to have extra SD cards if you're all about to run out? If you're using your smartphone, have you just recorded 90% of your phone storage capacity of your kids and you got to wipe that out before you go? Don't forget the basics. All these things you consider when you sit down to record an episode in your studio or your den or wherever, whatever you call it, you want to remember these same things for your event. SP, keep that SD card in your H6.
Yeah, I just bought some new ones, actually, to make sure I had enough to go around for everybody. So yeah, make sure you have enough storage. Make sure you bring along extra charging bricks, sticks, whatever they're called now, those USB batteries. Make sure you bring those and make sure you have some way of taking your gear around without damaging it. So I'm going to have a lot of Sennheiser MD46 microphones. Am I just going to throw that all in my bag? No, I'm going to have definitely a bag or a suitcase or something to haul those around in and keep them all in one place and protect them, because they're an investment and you want to be able to use these in the future. So look into some sort of carrying bag or carrying case that is going to protect your investment, because you don't want to ruin them your first time out.
No. So that's all that we're going to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk more about if you're in sort of a presentation style. And what we mean by that is maybe you are running a panel or you're running something like that, or maybe you're just in a booth. But really, like I said before, the eyes are on you. Now, let's just make sure we tell you right now that we're not here to tell you about how to successfully present. We're not here about like Toastmasters or anything like that. We're not covering that. What we're talking about is how you're going to leverage your presentation to benefit your podcast. That's what we're going to talk about. And how are you going to prepare for that? So come back next week for that. And here's a little tease as well. We might have a little bit of some marketing side of things about ways that you can easily market your podcast while you're doing these things. So come back next week for that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But let's go get to our download right now.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Oh, the download today is going to make people feel passionate, because we have talked before on here, back in episode 65, when we did our self-hosting episode, we talked about how there is an active debate about whether you should self-host your RSS feed or if you should use a media service RSS feed. And SP, would you agree with the statement that there's essentially two camps to this debate?
There's two strong camps right now, that's for sure. There's one camp that says you should host your own RSS feed and control it so that you can do whatever you want with it. So that's on one side. And the other side is saying, well, if you have a media host service that has a very large budget, a very large staff, and is more likely to care about it, to protect it, and to ensure that it's continually there, maybe you want to go with them instead. So really, there's two different camps, self-hosting or using a media service host for your RSS feed. Now, what does this mean, Stephen?
Well, let's just set the stage right now, because if you are a part of any podcast community, you have likely seen the name Todd Cochran. He is the CEO of Blueberry, and you will recognize more than likely that he is a member of the first camp. He is part of the self-hosting RSS feed camp. And last week, actually, just after we recorded the last episode of Better Podcasting, of course, this stuff comes out a day later, there was an article written on the Blueberry website, which was essentially an interview article with him, and about sort of how Blueberry got to be how they are now, as far as really pushing the whole own your podcast feed mantra. And you can check out that whole article at geeks.link/own-your-own-feed. So that's where we've set up a short link. It'll redirect directly to that article, and you can see about this interview. Now, we're not going to get too much into the specifics, because that's not what we want to do today. But what we want to do is highlight an element or two about that and how it affects you as a hobby podcaster. I do encourage you, whether you are very happy with your current service or whether you're thinking about making a move, check that out, because it's worth a read, in my opinion. Now, why does this matter to you as a hobby podcaster? Well, first off, let's just go ahead and make sure we're clear on this. SP and I both think that this is important, because we think that anytime you talk about hosting, there are pros and cons to both. And we want to make sure that it's important to not just represent one side of the coin. Now, we've said before on this show that I tend to lean towards the self-hosting side. Meanwhile, SP leans a little bit more towards the media hosting side. But we both recognize that there are pros to each other's preferred method, and there are cons to our own. We feel we're both pretty level-headed on the subject matter.
Absolutely. I will agree with Stephen that we see both pros and cons to both sides of the coin. There are just different variables involved in each side, and it just depends on what fits your needs. So go back to episode 65 and listen to what we said about hosting your own feed. But let's get on to the current discussion. Some people within the podcasting community have said that everybody gets along. And while that might be true on a personal level, in the industry, they have large disagreements on this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When they start talking about it, they get very animated about their preferred method. And we've seen some pretty heated debates. So we'll leave everybody nameless on who's participating, but we wanted to present both sides of the discussion here and the considerations involved. Now, the article talks about having your RSS feed on your domain being better than, as they put it, yourpodcastservice.com/yourpodcastservice.xml. Now, we both agree that if all parts were equal, and we do both agree on this, it is better to have your RSS feed on your domain than somebody else's. We won't get into the specifics of it, but it would be better because you control it.
And I want to just take a moment here. As the guy who is a self-hoster, I need to really emphasize the if all parts were equal. That is a massive preface to that statement, because there are very, very, very much good reasons why you may think that the pros of a media host outweigh that. So again, I am the self-hoster, and I am saying that it is a massive preface to that statement.
And when it comes down to it, you can host your media on one of these sites, but use a different way to feed it as well. You can use the PowerPress feed as your actual RSS feed, but your media is hosted on Libsyn or SoundCloud or Podbean or whatever. I do not advocate for your media being hosted on SoundCloud, by the way. I was just throwing that out as an example. But you can do that. And in that case, if one of those does go down, like we're curious as to whether SoundCloud is going to stay in business or not, you can transfer your media to somebody else and then update your RSS feed with all the new sites of where the MP3s are, and you can go that way. So for Libsyn, for example, you can, for an additional charge, have a custom domain for your site. So you can go to geeks.link.custom/libsyn and you can check that out. There are pros, there are cons to doing this. There are pros to which website and domain to use. So ultimately, we just wanted to make sure that both sides were represented in this. This is another article. It's out there. It's got probably going to get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And just go ahead and read it, but read it with an open mind, because both sides have reasons to host your own RSS feed or host with a media host and use their RSS feed. And both sides have cons as well. Just, you need to make your own decision. This is not something where Steven and I are going to stand on our heads and say, you need to do this or you need to do that. We are open to the discussion, but we have both chosen different routes and for different reasons as well. And if all things were being equal, I would like to be an at-home podcaster, 100% devoted, have my own staff around me, have my own personal transportation, my own private jet and all that, and host my own RSS feed. But I think for a hobby podcaster, going with somebody like Libsyn is a very reasonable thing to do.
And just to reiterate, we want you to read this article because there's some good points in there. The article itself, of course, you can imagine, Todd is the CEO of Blueberry. Blueberry is behind PowerPress and behind their stat service. So there's obviously going to be some information that's indicating going with them. But there's some points in there that we just wanted to reiterate that you might be able to take from there and apply to your existing media host feed, which, again, if you didn't catch that the first time, geeks.link/custom/libsyn will take you right to the Libsyn how-to page if you are with them on how, if you want to have your domain be the face of your Libsyn page, you can do that. That is possible. So just read it with an open mind. Take some points. Maybe it's a good time to check, reconsider some things and see where you stand and see if there's some changes that you want to make. But we wanted to highlight that because that is out here. There's chatter. And as SP said, it's probably only going to continue to be referenced. So check that out. But let's go ahead and find out what happened within your podcasting world this week.
Somebody was running the @BetterPod feed on Twitter, and they threw a question out there. And somebody is obviously either Steven or myself, because we're the only two that can have access to that feed right now, unless you're a hacker and you've hacked into it. But we don't want that. So have you, the question we asked was, have you ever attended a convention or similar type event for #podcast related reasons? Now, @Suncast of the GFQ Network said several times. So thank you very much for that at Suncast. We appreciate your lengthy and detailed answer of several times.
We also had, we mentioned him earlier, Deami Paloki, say, not to learn podcasting, but to podcast about my hobby, woodworking. I'm attending another conference next week on a media pass. So, shocking, Deami is exactly the example that we talked about earlier in the show. He is attending an event related to his podcast. So there you go. How cool is that? And by the way, it's been a while since we've mentioned this, but Deami is, does, he is a woodworker, as he mentioned. He has built some custom things to take with him to these events. And if you want to get in touch with him, it's Twitter at DYAMIPLOTKE. Tweet him, because I am always impressed with the custom things that he makes.
I may or may not have something in this house right now that I haven't unboxed, which might be something specific from Deami. So I'm really excited about that. We will have to show that in the future. At WScottSmith19, he replied to us and he said, last year in DC on the National Mall, my interview with the Flying Spaghetti Monster was one of our best yet. The Flying Spaghetti Monster. If you go to his tweet, which is done on the 9th of April, 2017, you will see a picture of him interviewing the Flying Spaghetti. It looks like a spaghetti monster. It's great. So
yeah.
Good on you, Scott. That is a great picture. That should be your profile picture everywhere. And I want to give a special shout out to Scott Smith, as well as another frequent listener of Better Podcasting, Mike Rondeau from the Cantina Cast. It's a cast about Star Wars. They were on Podcasters Roundtable number 91. It was so great listening to those gentlemen and seeing them over there. And Scott, thank you very much for giving a tip of the hat to us at the end of that episode as well.
Yes, thank you very much. And you did a great job, both of you. We also want to give a quick shout out here to the podcast forums, because there's a couple of topics that we think that people might want to track. And there's two. There's one that was somebody made, which is show your gear. Simple as that. Check that out. You can go and you can see other people's gear and post about your gear. So we encourage you to check that out. And another one here is cheap ways to obtain launch worthy audio. So go to thepodcastforum.com if you want to check these out, because they're both very good topics that are worth checking out if you are a hobby podcaster. Maybe you're just looking for some ideas to take some next steps, or maybe you are somebody who's looking to take that first step. So check both of those out there at thepodcastforum.com. But that is indeed taking us towards the end of the show. If you already do not have your ticket to see SP in person, it is too late, because as this episode is being released, unfortunately, the event has passed, but you want to keep your eyes out on GunnaGeek.com, because there's going to be a whole bunch of other event coverage going on, and who knows, maybe SP will change his mind and he'll attend something else somewhere.
Actually, plans are already in progress thanks to other members of the GunnaGeek.com network. I will be somewhere else this year. So that's 2017. Mark your calendars. SP will not only be at Indiana Comic Con, but he will be appearing somewhere else as well.
Wow, that was very vague and very mysterious. But
that's because one of the things we didn't talk about is when you're accepted, sometimes they say you can't say anything until we officially announce it on our website. So we can't talk about it until that happens.
No, for sure. But that is the end of the show. So for episode number 75 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen Jondrew saying, I'm going to miss not being able to excessively message SP this weekend.
And I'm SP saying, I love my new gear. See you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.